Well, every once in a while we hear a story, you know, that causes people to say, well, it kind of restores, you know, my faith in humanity. Usually it's a story about someone who maybe went above and beyond to help a neighbor, feed someone who was hungry, comfort someone who was grieving, maybe just make someone's life much brighter. The Apostle Paul talks about something like this when he says this about a person. He says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." There's just this incredibly beautiful story here, and that is what I want to kind of unpack for us today. And it's a story from the New Testament lesson. Technically speaking, the New Testament lesson is this entire book of Philemon. We just read a part of it. It's not long. It's not really even a chapter. It's 25 verses. We think of it as a book. It's more of a letter. Some people say it's almost like a postcard. I mean, it's brief. Now, the New Testament contains 13 different letters which were written by Paul. Four of those were written specifically to individuals. One of those, Philemon, what we're looking at today, is probably the most personal. C.S. Lewis called Philemon the most beautiful and intensely human of all St. Paul's epistles. It's full of charm and beauty. It's a beautiful letter. So who's this guy, Philemon? Most probably, Philemon is someone that had been led to faith by Christ, faith in Christ by Paul. Currently, at the time of writing, he is a church leader in the city of Colossus. You say, well, where in the world is Colossus? Colossus is in current-day Turkey, as we would know Turkey. And Paul calls Philemon our dear friend and fellow worker. He actually is an active lay leader in his church, and he was working for the cause of the gospel. And it's on the basis of Philemon's experience with Christ's love and the relationship he shared with Paul that Paul is going to make an appeal in this letter. Paul is confident that Philemon will respond on the basis of this love and this relationship. Now, he's going to have to decide on the matter that Paul is going to put before him. Now, the reason Paul wrote the letter to Philemon was to intercede for a man by the name of Onesimus. If we were to continue a couple verses, it says this. "Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me." This guy, Onesimus. Onesimus literally means useful. And he had previously been a slave, actually, in Philemon's household. But Onesimus had run away, probably with a significant amount of money that he had stolen from his master, Philemon. And eventually, as many escaped slaves did, sometimes they would end up in Rome. Now, is there, interesting, providentially, he came in contact while in Rome with the Apostle Paul, who happened at the time to be under house arrest there in Rome awaiting a trial. Paul instructs Onesimus in the gospel. He shares the faith with him, and Onesimus becomes a Christian. And he and Paul both grew in this relationship. And Paul will even get to the point where he would call him my son. And he now too served in the cause of the gospel and became useful to Paul. Now, as much as Paul would want him to stay, he has a huge challenge he's going to throw out. This is the challenge he throws out to Onesimus. Return back to Philemon and seek his forgiveness. And to Philemon, like you, Onesimus is a forgiven follower of Jesus Christ. Receive him back as a brother in the faith and forgive him for what he did. It's huge. So how would Philemon react to the return of the slave who had been so, in a sense, unuseful or unprofitable to him, who actually just stole a bunch of probably money from him? Now, under Roman law, a master had the right to inflict severe punishment on a runaway slave. And in some ways, that's maybe why Paul is writing in the tone that he is and the style he did in the letter. Because he specifically says, receive him back, not as a slave, but rather as a fellow worker in the faith. Show the forgiving spirit that marks those who are truly followers of Christ. Onesimus is now a child of God. He's a fellow person, share in the faith. He's not just a runaway slave. Now, in status, according to Roman standards, maybe you would consider him still a slave, but he's now in Christ. He's more. And now I need to kind of stop for a bit and make some comments about the context here and what we're talking about slavery in the Roman Empire, just briefly. People had slaves, not just in Rome, but Roman Empire, but other parts of the world as well. But here in this setting, there were many slaves that had become followers of Jesus Christ in the first century. And it was the gospel message that started changing the hearts of people. And when Christian slave owners came to see their slaves as brothers and sisters in Christ, there were many that freed their slaves. And in general, that's in a sense how it worked in Christian regions around the world as the gospel continued to spread. Now, the sad reality is, yes, some Christians kept holding on to their slaves, sometimes even decades, and it was sinful. It was wrong. And it hurt their walk and their faith and their testimony in Christ. But the one thing that we do see historically, though, that whenever Christianity had continued to spread, eventually we see slavery in different forms and in different kinds as it was expressed and used around the world, we see it disappearing. Now, we can measure the strength of the bond between Paul and Philemon by the confidence which Paul is making in his request. Forgive the penitent runaway. Welcome him back. See, Paul knows Philemon. And Paul knows what has happened in Philemon's life. And he knows how deeply he's been affected greatly and blessed by God's peace, grace, mercy in his life. And Paul is confident that God's grace and peace will move him to show the same kind of forgiving love to this penitent Onesimus. And we can look at his prayer. Because kind of embedded in this is a prayer that Paul is expressing for Philemon. Because whenever Paul thought of Philemon or remembered him in his prayers, there's a lot of things he's thankful for. As far as Philemon goes, he had an exemplary faith in Christian life. He, in a sense, was walking in the faith. He was committed. He was energetic in his work for the Lord. He had a work that he worked in unity with other Christians. And what he was known for was not just in that congregation there in Colossae, but other people around in other areas had heard about him as well. He opened his home for worship services to be held there. He had given help to the less fortunate. He made contributions to the welfare of the Christian community there in that community. And Paul reminded Philemon of the many ways in which faith had already expressed itself in his life through love. So it's his way to prepare his friend for the great request. Philemon, in a sense, take your Christian love one step further than ever before by forgiving and receiving back the slave who had so severely wronged you. It was no little thing what had happened to him. But Paul had been praying for Philemon that God would strengthen his heart, that God would strengthen his faith and his love, and look at it where that source is. It's coming from his faith. And that was the thing that would enable him to share and give evidence of that faith. Not like, we know you can do it, Philemon. He knew how difficult this would be. He knew that if he was even going to offer this gift of forgiveness, it had to come from God working in his heart and life. And that's why he was praying for him. Philemon had on so many other occasions, as it says, refreshed fellow believers. So there was something there. And Paul's prayer is also a prayer for us, and a prayer that we could take and pray for others as well. That others would constantly be growing in their faith, coming to know more and more about who Christ is and what he has done. And that would enable them more and more into even greater steps of faith and greater expressions of love to deal with other people. Because sometimes those things come along in life, there's no way that we have the strength just in ourselves to do these things. It's only by the power of God and the Holy Spirit working in our life that we can do these things. And Paul's plea for Onesimus is a model Christian intercession or prayer. And in a sense, it mirrors the very intercession of Christ for us. I like the way Luther put it as he was reflecting on this letter. He says, we are Christ's Onesimi, restored by Christ, who, by giving up his rights, compelled the Father to lay aside his wrath. It's like Christ was saying, I know what they have done, but look at what, but Father, I am putting myself out there for them so that you could share your forgiveness with them. See, the blessings of redemption, all the good that are ours in Christ, in a sense, is the very thing that starts changing our hearts and bringing out and evoking love. Paul will also write a letter to the believers there in the city of Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Paul writes, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, the more thoroughly Philemon recognizes how greatly he himself has benefited from God's grace toward him, the more inclined he's going to be to extend mercy and grace and forgiveness to others, especially to this person, Onesimus. Now, the reality is we don't own slaves. So we say, well, all right, so what does this book mean for me? What does it mean for us? But really, it's a letter about forgiveness, isn't it? What do we do about those who've hurt or wronged us? And we all have experienced that in our lives. Things have been said, things have been done, hurtful things. And knowing we should forgive and wanting to forgive are two different things. Now, what's interesting, when we read Philemon, something is noticed. Paul never uses the word should. You have to. You should do this. What does Paul do? Paul simply, in his appeal to Philemon, says, look back at the gospel. Look at what God has done for you in and through his son Jesus. Because that's where your ability to forgive is going to come from. His ability to forgive, our ability to forgive. And that's where it begins. We need to talk to Jesus, talk to God about people in our lives. And say, this is where it's at. I'm hurt. I'm broken. I don't understand. These are the dynamics that would have happened. I'm bringing this to you, God, because I'm having struggles with this. And the more we just look at it as that process and continue to bring it before God and reflect on his love and his strength, that's when God begins to do his work. Because it's amazing what God can do in and through people. Because by working in the hearts of people, he can change the entire trajectory of their lives. See, the former master, Philemon, and the slave, Onesimus, both became Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And both begin to treat each other with love. Interesting, as you follow the story historically, in time Onesimus became a bishop in the early church. His life was forever changed because he experienced the forgiveness that Philemon offered to him. He experienced the work that God had done in his life, and he was set free. Who can do a miracle like that? Who can do the same kind of miracle in your life? It's Christ. Because Christ is the one who started it, and he's the one who continues to share it. We are recipients of what he has done. That little letter, kind of almost sometimes forgotten there in the Gospels, is just the most beautiful letter of someone just making an appeal to someone to offer the gift of forgiveness to someone else. And because that happened and God worked through that and enabled it to happen, look at what happened. Who knows the effect of what that gift of forgiveness did in and through those people? And how many more people heard the gospel because of that and the effect of their lives? And it's God that enables that to happen. And it really, truly is a gift as we release, you know, love, faith, forgiveness. God, help us to be able to share that gift with others. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now take our offering.